Behold, I make all things new. That was Jesus' last words in the book of Revelation, our second reading. I think they're very powerful words for us. Behold, I make all things new. We need to be made new. I remember when I graduated from high school, and many graduates I've talked to, they've said that one of the best things about graduating from high school is you got a new start. You got to go somewhere and have a fresh start. You know, it's definitely good to appreciate, to thank God for what I've received, what I've gotten. But I know there's that part of your heart is ready for that. It says, yeah, I'd like a new start. Well, sometimes we can really get in a rut. And maybe not just high school and our groups of friends or that kind of stuff, but just in our lives as well, right? Oftentimes, we kind of are just going through the motions. We get in a rut. The same hurts going on in our life, the relationships, our marriages, our family, our friendships, the same arguments over and over again, the same falls over and over again, the same wounds that still need to be healed. We need to be made new. Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. And that's why in the gospel, he says, I give you a new commandment. It's stuff we've heard before. Love one another as I have loved you. Okay, Jesus, I've heard that for many, many times. But it's new because if we do that, that is what will make the world new. That is how Jesus renews us. Love one another as I have loved you. I love praying with Jesus washing my feet. If you've never prayed with Jesus washing your feet, I invite you right now, even if you don't listen to the rest of my homily, I don't care. Let Jesus talk to you. Just Jesus being here right now. You're at the Last Supper right now. That's what every Mass is. It's the Last Supper. And Jesus is here with you, his disciples, and he washes your feet. What do you need to be washed this morning? To be healed and cleansed. The reason I say this is because the words Jesus said today in the gospel, they came right after he washed the disciples' feet. So the apostles had just had Jesus wash their feet, and then they heard him say, now, love one another as I have loved you. When Jesus washes our feet, the first thing he does is he forgives us. Such a powerful thing that Jesus forgives our sins. We need to be loved like this. There's a real renewal when we have our sins forgiven. That burden that is there, we bring them to the Lord, and he takes them away. And we experience it within our hearts, our souls. We're made new. We bring them our sins, and they're gone. It's what makes the sacrament of confession so powerful. Because we're renewed in Jesus. So when he washes, he forgives. But he also, when he washes our feet, often when I go to pray, I bring whatever's in my life at that moment, whatever I'm coming to Jesus with, and he refreshes me. I mean, think even in a physical way, when Jesus washed their feet, or when you come in and you wash up after working or sweating, you're refreshed by it physically. Jesus does that to us spiritually every time that we come to him. I come to Jesus and maybe I'm just tired. I'm just feeling wore out. I'm at my end. I've had senioritis for the last 10 months. Right? Oh, again, another day. Maybe I'm more than that. Maybe I'm afraid. There's fear, anxiety. Maybe I'm hurt and angry. Whatever it is, I go and Jesus comes. I say, Jesus, come and wash my feet. And in that time of prayer, we're renewed. Behold, I make all things new. We're healed. We're strengthened again. It's so important to have that first. When Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you, he first loved us. To receive the love, that's the first step of being a Christian. To let Jesus love you. Let him wash your feet. But then he does turn to the apostles and he tells them, now, as I have done, now you must go do too. Yes, love one another as I have loved you. Now you have to do this. I have a second cousin who's in a religious community, and the motto of their community is, "Wounded, I will never cease to love." I want you really to pray with this, think about it this morning. Wounded, I will never cease to love. It's saying the same thing Jesus just said, love one another as I have loved you. But it's a very specific way, right? Because what did Jesus do right after he said those words? He went out and he suffered. He was tortured, mocked, and killed. And how did Jesus respond? With love. Love one another as I have loved you. Wounded, I will never cease to love. And that's what Jesus did to renew the world. The whole world is renewed in that love of Christ. Jesus rose from the dead. Think of the apostles looking at him. His wounds are made glorious. He's been completely renewed. This is what Jesus is offering us. Wounded, I will never cease to love. You will be made new. My cousin was doing a podcast. It was for little kids, but I thought, wow, this is good for adults. And she was telling these kids, she said, you know, we sisters underneath our habit, we're just like you. And our family of sisters, we're like your family. Because I know in our family and your family too, sometimes my sister says something to me and it hurts me. It wasn't very nice. Maybe your brothers, your sisters, maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's your mom and your dad. Maybe it's your kids, maybe a coworker, a friend, whatever. And that, what they said wounds me, she said, it wounds me. And I can react by putting on my pouty face and just getting sad, right? Kids do that, I think adults do that too. Just sit in my woundedness. Just sit in my hurt. And where's that lead? Isolation. I'm alone and separated from that person. That's where that leads. And usually I isolate myself from everybody else too, right, when I do that. I'm alone. She said, or we can get revenge. I can say back something even worse than you said to me. Send out there something, you know, to get you back. I start planning in my head how I'm going to get back at her for what she said to me. And we do that, right? We have those thoughts. We think of all the things we could have said, like, just runs through us. And where's that lead? We harden our hearts to them. Sometimes we become rebellious against our parents like this. We harden our heart and we make that person my enemy. That's where that ends. She said, or we can ask Jesus to help me to love this person again. Jesus, help me, even though I've been wounded, to love her. Wounded, I will never cease to love. This is how we are renewed. She said, maybe it's just a little thing. Maybe it means that you help them fold the laundry, you know, or you help do the chores, but you don't do it angry or pouty. You do it with kindness, with love, with charity. Or maybe it's a big thing and you really have to forgive and step out. I did a Bible study with some college students this week, and one of the guys shared as we were talking, he said, you know what I do is I look at the cross and I see Jesus there and I think, okay, I can do that then. Like when I see what he did, it convicts me that I can try and strive a little further to maybe love even when it's hard. To do what I know is right, even though it's difficult, right? Jesus encourages me, pushes me on. There's power in that. You know, as you go to college, hang one in your dorm. You need a crucifix to remind you of Jesus every day. The love that he has and the love he calls us to. Maybe as you come to the end of a year, there's been some things with friends or others that needs this kind of love. Okay, I've been wounded, but I need to love. Because when I do that, what happens is, Jesus, I need you in me loving this person. And when I choose to love like that, I am renewed. Do you see? I am renewed. Because otherwise I've shut myself up in a prison. But I choose to love and I'm renewed. And it brings peace to that person and our relationship together. You see, behold, I make all things new in this love. We are made new here. The world needs peace so badly, you guys. Our families need peace. Our friendships need peace. Our church needs peace. Conservative and liberals need peace. Russia and Ukraine need peace. You know, all the diplomacy and things are so important. These things are so difficult and hard. But yet Jesus today, he really just makes it so simple, actually. What leads to peace is if you do this. Love one another as I have loved you. That's how they will know that you are my disciples, he says. That's how they will know. I don't know if you know or not, but Russia and Ukraine are actually really connected in faith. Their faith comes from the same root. Those two areas were founded by the same saints. They are brothers in the Orthodox faith. They are disciples of the Lord together. It's part of what makes this all so scandalous. It's not just politics. Pope Francis met with the patriarch of the Russian church. And he said the first 20 minutes, the patriarch, he read from a piece of paper for 20 minutes all of the reasons to justify the Russian invasion. And when he finished his thing, Pope Francis said, he looked at him, I simply replied, he said, brother, first since he said that, brother, I don't understand any of this. We are not state clerics. We're shepherds of the same holy flock of God. We must speak the language of Jesus. The way to make all things new, even war, is to love one another as I have loved you. That wounded, I never cease to love. As I've washed your feet, you must do. St. Mother Teresa had a famous quote. She said, if you want peace in the world, go home and love your family. It's beautiful. It's true. Do you want peace in Ukraine? Do you want peace to work for peace? True. And start there. That's where we begin. Go home and love your family and bring peace there. One more powerful example today. It's about marriage. It's from a podcast I've been listening to called Restore the Glory. He's a Catholic psychologist, and on this podcast, he told about a very personal time when he finally admitted to his wife that he had a sexual addiction. And he was convinced that he had just ruined their marriage. In fact, the next day he went to work and asked his coworker, who was a strong Catholic model for him, he said, how do you go about an annulment? Because he thought that he was going to need one. He was so wounded. You know, and I think this is probably the hardest wound for us to deal with, is when we realize that what's wounded is actually here. And I'm hurting people by it. There's so much shame and contempt and that self-hatred on ourselves. We feel very unlovable, very wounded. But right there is where Jesus said, wounded, I will never cease to love you. His coworker, he told him, you hold your head up. We think, what? No, he said, at this moment is now when you hold your head up. Because you are not your sin. The reality is up until now has been the time of shame. You've been hiding it up until now. That's been the time for shame. Now is no longer the time for shame. For the first time in your life, you've actually brought this to the light. And now Jesus can actually go deep into this place with you and restore the glory of his life in you that has always meant to be there. Note, this is the moment that you stand in the truth for the first time in years. And the door is opened for renewal in your life. And Satan, he will attack that moment when you want to simply hide in your shame. He will be, all kinds of the accusations will come inside and from others. You can't do this, whatever it is. He said that's because he knows that you're at the moment of breakthrough, that grace is starting to shine into you. This is the beginning of being made new. And I'm sure it was hard for his wife to love him after being lied to for so many years. Wounded, I will never cease to love. And this psychologist, he said, that moment was the turning point in our marriage. I can look back now and we see how God used that healing journey to make our marriage way stronger, more stronger than it had ever been before. It was the catalyst for the deep restoration of the glory that God had always meant to be our married love. And now we can even thank God for bringing us through that time. And then he said, I'm a psychologist. He said, I can tell you, I can't even tell you how many hundreds of families I met that can tell you the exact same story. This is what renews us. Marriage, our future, our life, the church, the world. Wounded, I will never cease to love. Because this is actually the love that we will encounter in heaven forever. This is what heaven will be. Our second reading, it said, I heard the voice from heaven. And he said, behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and he will be their God. Always, forever. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more wailing, and no more pain. For the old order has passed away. And the one who was on the throne said, behold, I make all things new.